Well, good morning, children. Sometimes I try to think of something new to share up here, but it seems like I said before, we come to church and sometimes we hear the same thing over and over just so we can remember how we need to live. And today, I did this story probably, I don't know, it's probably been several years, so some of you younger ones probably never heard me do it, but it's called Paul in the Pit. And it's a story about obedience. And I know we hear that every day, right? No, don't do this. No, don't do that. It's all about obedience. But you know, really it is, because I'm going to tell you, we're going to read this little story about a little boy that he decided that he didn't need to listen to his dad, and he got in trouble. Well, when Paul was 3 years old, his family moved to a dairy farm. Paul was excited. There were so many things to see. Best of all was the big barn with its rows of stalls, interesting tools, wagons, there were piles of hay, all kinds of big machines. Paul's dad bought a lot of cows, some little calves too. Paul was a little bit scared of these big cows. His parents told him he must not get too close to them because some cows will kick little boys. And I don't know, most of you may have never been around cows, but them cows, they kick out the back, they kick out the side. They was pretty good at hitting you if they wanted to kick you. Paul had four older brothers, and they helped dad with the chores in the barn. Sometimes Paul helped too. When they were feeding calves, and other times mom wanted him to stay in the house, then Paul was sad. He wished he was big enough to go out and help do the chores. One afternoon, when Paul woke from his nap, he heard the rattle of milk cans and the mooing of cows from the barn. "Mom, may I go to the barn today?" he asked. "No, Paul," said Mom. "You better stay with me. You may go out with me and later when I wash. You may go out with me later when I wash the milk buckets." Paul got out his toy animals and started to make a farm of his own on the floor. Now, something I was thinking about is younger children. And there's some older ones here. You know, when you was younger, there was probably things that you thought you really would love to do when you was younger and you couldn't do it. Now when your dad and mom try to make you do it, you don't want to do it. Is that right? Okay, anyway, so this was Paul, okay? He couldn't wait to get big enough to go out and help dad do chores. But I have to wonder, when he got older, I'm sure dad had to tell him to go out and do the chores. Paul got out his toy animals and started to make a farm of his own on the floor. He set up four little fences and pretended to feed them. And he made a pen for his cows and pretended to feed them hay. He had a toy horse too and made it gallop around the farm. Soon Paul got tired of playing farm. He wanted to go out to the real farm and see real animals. Mom went upstairs in her arms full of clothes she had washed that day. Paul wandered over to the window and looked out. He could see the barn. He wanted to go there so much. Then he had an idea. Uh-oh. Surely Mom would not care if he went out and stood in the driveway so he could see the barn better. Paul looked around, and Mom was still upstairs. He put on his boots and quietly opened the door, and he went outside. He felt guilty all the time because he knew he was doing something Mom had said he must not do. When he rushed the driveway, he stood there only for a moment. So see, he got closer to the temptation, what he was told not to do. And after he got so close, he couldn't handle it anymore, so he went the whole way. He stood there for only a moment. He looked back toward the house. Mom did not call and tell him to come back, so he went on. Soon he slipped through the door in the milk house at the end of the barn. Paul played in the milk house for a minute, then he quietly went out into the main part of the barn. Paul knew he was disobeying, so he did not stop to talk to dad and the boys. So sometimes when we're guilty, we just kind of walk around people we don't want to talk to, right? Because we know we're guilty. They did not see he was in the barn. He stood in the corner and watched as they milked the big cows. Paul knew where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to the calf pens. He stood by the pens and watched for a little while. Then he wanted something else to do. At the end of the barn was a big manure pit. Paul went there next. He stood on the edge of the pit and wrinkled his nose. Phew, he thought, that manure does not smell good. Paul found a stick and poked it in manure. This was fun. So he poked some more. Suddenly, Paul's foot slipped. So he had to take a step forward to keep his balance. And plop, down went Paul's one foot in the manure. And then down went the other foot. See, right there's a picture. Somebody painted a picture. See that? That don't look good, does it? He's right up to, almost up to his neck in there. You see it right here? That looks scary, doesn't it? Paul was so scared, he didn't know what to do. The sticky manure was already higher than his knees, and he was sinking deeper all the time. How he wished he had obeyed the mom and stayed in the house. He struggled and tried to walk out of the pit, but that just made him sink deeper. So see, at this point, he was in trouble and he knew it. So he was trying to get himself out. But the more he struggled, the deeper he went. At last, Paul found his voice. He decided to holler. Daddy, he called. Daddy! Paul's big brother, Thomas, was working near the end of the barn. He thought he heard something. Was Paul crying? Nah, it can't be Paul, he thought. He's in the house with Mom. And then he heard it again. He listened. He set his bucket down and went in that direction. Up sound. When he came to the manure pit, his eyes bulged with shock. There on top of the manure pit was someone's head. Sorry, let me get back to the story here. It was his little brother Paul's head. Paul had sunk all the way to his neck. He could no longer scream. But he rolled his frightened eyes at Thomas. Thomas turned and ran back to the barn. He was crying too. Daddy, come quick, please come, he said. He ran back to the pit. Dad dropped what he was doing. He came running. He knew something terrible must have happened. When he saw Paul in the pit, he moved even faster. It was not going to be easy to pull him out. But at last, Paul was standing on the ground. Oh, how dirty he was. Mom and Dad cleaned him up. Then Dad sat Paul in his lap. He talked to Paul for a long time. Paul could not understand everything Dad said. But there were two things that he understood very well. He had come close to drowning in the manure pit. And it was his disobedience that had caused all the trouble. Paul would remember that day for the rest of his life, the day he learned how serious it can be to disobey. I have a few things to talk about in the Bible here. And another question I had here is, how many of you are 3 years old here today? How many? Is there any three-year-old boys or girls here today? You? Anybody else? No? So anyways, I thought of a few other stories here. One story in particular was about a man who disobeyed God. And God told him, I'll say a little bit of the story. Maybe you can think about who the man was. God told this man to go preach somewhere. And he decided that he didn't want to. Does anybody know who I'm talking about yet? Jonah, that's right. God told him to get up and go to Nineveh and preach. I won't read the whole story. Maybe I'll just let you guys tell me the story. So it was Jonah, and God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. But what did he decide to do? What did he decide to do? Run away, that's right. How did he run away?
On a ship,
that's right. So when he was on that ship, what happened? Do you know? Oh, that's right, a storm came. Yeah, thank you. Good answer. So when the storm came, the people were afraid. And they knew that if they didn't do something, they was going to, you know, they wasn't going to make it. It says that they cast lots to see who caused the trouble. Because, see, the people of this, on this ship, they didn't serve the true God. They worshiped other things. So they thought if there was someone here who worshiped something or someone that made the water, maybe this would help. You know, if he'd done something bad, maybe this would help to calm the sea. And so they figured out that Jonah was running away from God. So what'd they do with him? Who wants to answer that? That's right. Then when they threw him in the water, what happened? Somebody over here have an answer? What happened? Do you know what happened when they threw Jonah overboard? That's right. I think you all know the answers. You're just afraid to answer, right? So because of his disobedience, that's the kind of trouble that he got into. He ended up way deeper than the manure pit. He ended up in the sea in a fish's belly. It says, during that time, Jonah prayed to the Lord. He was sorry he had disobeyed. He would go to Nineveh gladly and preach to the people. Then the Lord heard Jonah's prayer, and he had the fish cast Jonah up on the shore. Then I had another story here about a man who had leprosy. And his name was Naaman. And I had to think, and this story here was about a man who actually obeyed God's word. He didn't really want to, but he didn't have anything else to lose because he was going to die. So he went to the prophet of Israel because he had a little slave girl. You know, that's why it's important that we understand and listen to God's word every time we have a chance, because there was a little slave girl that came from Israel, and she knew there was a real God. And the only reason she knew there was a real God is because at one time she had parents that taught her about the real God. So she was able to tell this man that you can go to Israel and find a prophet that can heal your body of leprosy. So he went. Can anybody tell me how many times did the prophet tell him to dip himself in the water? Seven times. So if he would have stopped at number six, would have he been healed? Somebody said no. That's right. That's right. So see, that was about a man that obeyed what he was told to do, and he was healed. And I had a verse here in Romans 5 verse 19. It says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. And as I read that, I was thinking about when God made Adam and Eve. I'll start halfway through the story here. When it says about one man's disobedience, okay, this is what happened. Why should you be afraid to meet me, God asked. He asked Adam, why are you afraid to meet me? Just like Paul, right? Paul, when he was on his way out to the pit, he didn't want to meet his dad and his brothers because he knew he disobeyed. Adam said, have you eaten the forbidden fruit? Why should you be afraid to meet me? I'm sorry. Eat. And then Adam said, Eve gave me some of the fruit and I ate it. What is this you have done? God asked Eve. She answered, the serpent tempted me and I ate. God's heart was full of sorrow and pain because Adam and Eve had given to the tempter and disobeyed him. Now they could no longer be with him because sin had spoiled their lives. They were no longer fit to live in the beautiful garden God had made for them. God sent them into the world to make a home for themselves. And at the gate of the garden, he placed an angel so that Adam and Eve could not come back to eat of the tree of life. So, you know, at one point, it might look fun to disobey God or your parents. But this is what happened to Adam and Eve. They was in a garden where I don't even know if they had to sweat. You know, they didn't have to do much work. But after they sinned, God sent them into the world to make a home for themselves. At the gate, he placed an angel so Adam and Eve could not come back. To Eve, God said, because you have disobeyed me, you shall have pain and trouble. God punished Adam too. No longer would it be easy to grow fruits and vegetables. Weeds and thorns and thistles would grow in the field. When Adam and Eve died, their bodies would become dust again, and this came because of sin. As the years passed, however, the children and grandchildren of Adam and Eve remembered a promise. Someday God would send a Savior to make man free from sin and death. And the last part of that verse says, and by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And as I was reading that part, I was thinking of Jesus. And we know the story of Jesus. We know what he did, right? It says the Roman soldiers took Jesus and they put a crown of thorns on his head and they put a reed in his hand and bowed before him saying, Hail, King of Jews. They blindfolded him, spat upon him, hit him, saying, Tell us who struck you. Jesus said not a word. Finally, the soldiers took the purple robe, dressed him in his own clothes. They took off the purple robe, dressed him in his own clothes, and they led him away to be crucified. They gave Jesus and the two robbers a heavy cross to carry. A crowd of curious people followed the soldiers to the crucifixion. Many in the crowd were Jesus' enemies. Others were friends who longed to help him but could not. As they went, Jesus fell beneath his heavy cross. The soldiers called a stranger from the crowd to carry the cross. On the hillside of Calvary, the crowd stopped. Soldiers removed their prisoner's clothing. They fastened their hands and feet to the cross. Then they raised the crosses high in the air and planted them in the ground, leaving the prisoners to hang there till they died. From the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A sign above Jesus' head bore the words, This is Jesus, the King of Jews. One of the thieves who was crucified with Jesus made fun of him. The others said, We deserve to die, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then Jesus said, Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom. The other prisoner said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, Today you will go with me in paradise. Sorrowing friends were standing at the foot of the cross. Among them were his mother and John. Jesus asked John to care for Mary. Jesus' enemies also stood around the cross. Some of them said, If you are King of Jews, save yourself. At noon, the sky darkened. For 3 hours, the great darkness lasted. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, It is finished. The Roman captain stood near the cross and said to his soldiers, Truly, this man was the Son of God. So today, I just, you know, just remember that we live in a fallen world. You know, we're not always going to obey our parents, but we can always go back to them and ask them to forgive us. And we can always do what is right. So I just want to pray at this time, and then I have a little bowl of candy here. You can all take a piece, and then you can go back to your parents. Dear Father in heaven, as we come before you again at this time, Lord, and we thank you for the many blessings that you give us each day, Lord, and that we was able to come to church here and share your word with the children, Father. And as we know, there's maybe many things that were said that they may not understand now, Lord, but that they can understand later as we keep teaching them, Father. We just want to pray for the brother who will be sharing after me, Lord. You just give him the words, what you want him to say, Father. And us as hearers could hear, Lord. And we just thank you again for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.